He said, you're going to be in the world, but you're not to be of the world. There's a big difference. We're not supposed to be of the world. And that just implies to me that we're supposed to be different in all areas of our life. As a Christian, as a child of God, we're not to be of the world. The Bible tells us we're to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. How are you going to witness to the Lord if you're selling away your own testimony? You can't witness to the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we're to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we're reminded, and I'm just trying to preface this, but we're reminded in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, he says, in the last days, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Bible's just saying this. Paul writes to Timothy, in the last days of the church age, he said, there are going to be some that are going to just depart from the faith. And they're going to be departing from the faith because of these seducing spirits that are going to come along and seduce people to do things and get involved in things they have no business getting involved in. And then he says they're going to listen to and be seduced by doctrines of devils. And I'll tell you one that we've been all through the Northwest and Nebraska and South Dakota and Iowa and down through here. And we're seeing Calvinism in many of the churches today and creeping into those churches. That's a doctrine of the devil. That's what it is. It's a doctrine of the devil. Hey, when my Savior died on the cross of Calvary, he died for the sins of the whole world. And he gave his life. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants every man, woman, and child eventually to come to the realization that they're a sinner because they were born of Adam. They didn't become a sinner when they sinned, but they were conceived in sin, and they're already condemned. And to understand that he provides a way for us to have our sins taken care of. And so the Bible, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm sorry, but there's just too much in the Bible that shows that when he spread his arms out, he was spreading it out for the whole world, not just for the elect few or whatever that they come up with. And by the way, if a guy would really read the Bible and look at those predestined election verses, they'd understand if they wouldn't take them out of the context that it never addresses unsaved people. He's always talking to saved people anyway. We're already predestined to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it's really about. And so I just want to say that we're hearing more and more about men, preachers, God's people. We're not talking about people out in the world. We're talking about men of God, children of God, preachers of God that are falling to immoral things and ruining their ministries and ruining their marriage and ruining their families and ruining churches. And by the way, when a man falls or a woman falls into sin of that kind, that thing, It's a domino effect to many other areas. So many families in these churches have been devastated and lost faith in preachers and lost faith in fundamental independent Baptists, because all of these were fundamental independent Baptist preachers, many of them associated with the college that we support, that have gone out and been in part of that and support that. And it just troubles me. But it's not just immoral things that they're selling out to, but guys that are going off and women that are going off to our Bible college. And why do we go to a Bible college? Because we feel like out of the church where God calls people, that's where he calls us. He didn't call them out of a Bible college. He calls them out of our churches. And when they're called from a church, they want to feel like they need to go and they need to get a foundational beliefs about something. So we recommend a good fundamental independent Baptist college that'll set them straight on what the Bible teaches on all those subjects. And they're there for sometimes 3, 4, 5 years. You'd think in that 5-year period, setting under good men of God, they'd get the right foundation. When they come out of there, they'd hold to the things that they were taught. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of them that the very things they were taught, they're selling out to the world. They're giving it out. They're going out. They're taking the name Baptist off churches. They were taught about a King James Bible. They understood that God preserved his word. Friend, you can't have 180 different kinds of versions and have a preserved word in 180 versions. It isn't preserved because all those other versions, they change things out of that, and it's not preserved if it's changed. If it's preserved, it means it's the exact same thing. And so the English Bible that we hold in our hand has been preserved down through the ages from the Greek and the Hebrew, and all God did was just put it in the English language. He preserved it just like he inspired the Bible from the beginning. And so why would a guy want to get rid of the critical text or get rid of that and sit there and say, I don't believe that the King James Bible is the only preserved word of God? Friend, it is the only preserved word. There's only one word. And if you don't have this book, you don't have God's word. That's just the way it is. I'm not bringing this tonight to get a lot of amens, but I'm sure enjoying it. So, but anyway, I the Bible tells us, listen, I know it's tough in the age that we live in. I know how much Scripture talks about what it's going to be like, troubling times, perilous times coming in the end, that we're going to have to, if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution. I understand it. I get that. And the Bible talks about how hard it's going to be for us to take our stand against a culture and a world that's going to attack not just our families and not just preachers, but our churches and Christianity in this Bible. It's not just one area that the devil's attacking. He's attacking it on every front. And we've got to be willing to stand. You say, well, it's hard to stand. I know, but the early church, many in the early church stood. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? I mean, that'll tear your heart out. To see what those men and women who would not sell out, trade off what they believe, went through. They gave their very lives. They were martyred. I mean, the 12 apostles, were martyred. All of them except for John, and he died in exile because of the Bible says for the preaching of the word of God. And then when I think about the Reformation period and some of them that stood against the Church of England and the Catholic Church at that time, many of them were burned at the stake and flogged and thrown into prisons, but they refused to sell out what they knew was right. They had it in their hearts. They believed it, and they weren't going to give in to it. So don't come to me and say, you don't know how hard it is. Hey, it was hard for Noah for 120 years, and if you read in the book of Genesis how wicked and violent and sinful in the days of Noah it was, and yet here was a man that was willing to stand his integrity and stand for what was right and preach the gospel and be a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Hey, if God can give Noah the grace to do that, he can give you the grace to do that. So I'm just troubled by it, and I'm sickened by it every time I hear it. So I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 21. And I want us to go ahead and stand if you're able to stand. And I'm going to read this text tonight. And I'm not going to try to draw a comparison between King Ahab and Naboth. But there is a big comparison there. Because if anybody sold out, Ahab was a guy that would trade, sell out, give away anything. And we'll see that in just a moment. And if there was anybody that wouldn't sell out, it was Naboth. And I appreciate God putting this story in the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 21, and it came to pass after these things. Now, let me just stop there and say, after these things, refer to chapter 20, when Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had come against the king of Israel, Ahab, and he had asked Ahab for his wives, his family, his silver, his gold. In fact, he didn't ask for it. He just said this, it's all mine. And what just burns me is Ahab told him, it's okay, you can have my wives, you can have my children, you can have my silver and gold, you can have my house. I'm not going to deny it to you. What a flake. What a guy, useless, worthless guy he was. And you can read that in John or in 1 Kings chapter 20. You can read it in just the first five or six verses there where he says, I'm not denying you any of these things. And then we come to, and so after that, obviously God steps in and he commits the sin by keeping Ben-Hadad alive. And the Bible says in verse 43 of that last chapter 20, and the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Well, he came down heavy and displeased because God sent a prophet to him and told him, because you kept this man alive, you're going to die. And so he's heavy. Then it says, he came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Syria. That word hard just means it was joined to or close or near to Ahab's house. He called a palace. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. Praise God. And he laid him down. This is Ahab. Ahab lays himself down upon his bed, turned away his face, and wouldn't eat no bread. What a baby. Wah, 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 wah. I can just see him. Goes upstairs, gets into his bed, puts his thumb in his mouth and sucks his thumb, and he's looking at the wall, and he's just, he ain't coming down for supper. He's not going to eat. So Jezebel, the wicked witch of the north, and he said, but Jezebel, his wife, came up to the bedroom there and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? In other words, why aren't you coming down for supper? What are you doing up here sucking your thumb, laying in bed about? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And I think he was pouting when he said that. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with the seal and sent the letters unto the elders of the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders of the noble and the nobles were of the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high amongst the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they went sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Pretty serious business. He's going to lose his life for that. And so I want us to look at this passage tonight. I don't have time to do a comparison between Ahab and Naboth, but I do want to talk to you for a few moments about why I believe in my heart that Naboth did not sell out. And I think if we could incorporate the four things that I think I see in the passage that were about him, it'd help us from selling out in these last days. Amen. Father, I thank you for your love and goodness to us tonight. Thank you for the music. Thank you for this good church and good pastor. We are always humbled that we get an opportunity to visit here and to preach here. It's such a privilege. So I pray that you'll help me tonight, and we want to make sure that we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all of it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm kind of trying to skip through some of this so I can get right to it. But I want to say to you, how come Naboth said no? I'm not selling it. I'm not trading it. I'm not giving it to you. You know, there's just some things that are not for sale. And, you know, as I said, I'm not selling away this Bible for some other version of the Bible. I'm not giving it away. I'm not trading it away. But I'm telling you, folks, there's people that do it. And they know better. And it's wrong. And they're going to be sorry for it. There's people that are selling away their churches. Just recently heard of another church where I was talking to a lady and she was telling me about her church. And I said, so where is this church? And she said, oh, it's a good Baptist church. And I said, well, where is it? And she told me, and I said, I don't know that. And she goes, well, our pastor took the name Baptist off because the name Baptist, he said, was offensive to people in the community. And he wanted to reach the community, and with that name Baptist up there, then it just defines too much that offends people. Well, it's supposed to define what we are. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, don't tell me you're a Baptist, or a guy's going to tell me he's a Baptist if the name Baptist isn't on his church. You know, that's like a guy saying, hey, you know, we have this chicken house where we sell, the name of it's called Harry's Chicken and Feathers, and we sell chicken, but we're really Kentucky Fried Chicken. We're KFC. And I've often thought, well, if you're KFC, then the name KFC ought to be on the sign out front. Not Harry's Chicken and Feathers. If it's Harry's Chicken and Feathers, then it's Harry's Chickens and Feathers. One day it's chickens, and the next day you're selling feathers. That's really what it's about. No, if you're a Baptist, you put the name Baptist on the church. And if you're not a Baptist, you take the name off the church. And I didn't tell that lady that, but in my mind I was thinking, yeah, it's just another church selling out to the world, letting the world tell them, we want your church. You know, I remember my pastor, Brother Joyner, told me that he was in a school when he started his church in 1959, and they were in the Davison School for 3.5 years, and he'd been praying for a piece of land. He said, God, give us 4 or 5 acres, just. And so he said one night a couple that had been coming to his church for about 3 years invited him over and said, we'd like to give to you 4 acres of beautiful property right on the boulevard. We just want to give it to you for the church. He said, praise God. God answers prayer. And they said, there's only one string. And that is, we're going to ask you if you'd be willing to take the name Baptist off. We'll give you the acreage. And he said, I remember Terry sitting there thinking, here I've been praying for land and all this. And he said, my flesh wanted to say, no problem. That was my flesh. But he said, I stood up and said, my church is not for sale. That's what he said. He said, I'm not selling New Testament Baptist Church by taking the name Baptist off. And they said, we're willing to give you the 4 acres. He goes, I'm sorry, the name Baptist ain't for sale in this church. So he said, I walked out of there and I got in my car and he sat there and I said, what did I just do? What did I just do? Well, what he just did is he stood for character. He stood for the things that were right. It wasn't even a year. Wasn't even a year went by and God gave him 4.5 acres on a better boulevard. And the Lord, he didn't have to sell it out to get it. You know, folks, listen, you don't have to give into the world and fall into sin and so forth. So when I look at this passage of scripture, I want you to notice what Naboth said. It says in verse number 2, it says here, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house. I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. Well, I want you to know that Naboth was not a guy that was going to sell out his vineyard. And here's the reason why. Because he had some convictions. You see, when you have convictions about something, you don't give them up. Now, the word convictions just comes from the word convinced. And when you're convinced of something from the Bible, then that's what you hold to. You don't ever give it in. And we're not talking about a preference here. We're not talking about somebody that prefers to use the Bible or prefers the name Baptist or prefers to stay with a wife for all of his life. That's not a preference. Those are convictions. The Bible's very clear about it. And Naboth, when he was offered this, I mean, really, when you stop and think about it, he wasn't trying to get the king upset. He wasn't trying to, you know, offend Ahab by telling him, no, I can't do it. I won't sell it. He lets him know here that the Lord forbid me. Amen. The Lord forbid me to do it. He goes back to the Word of God. He tried to convince Naboth by saying things like, well, it's close to my house. It's close to my palace. It's right up tight against the palace. I'd like it for a garden of herbs. Sounds like an innocent, you know, reason enough. Some might have viewed that request as a privilege. Here is a citizen saying, the king coming to him and saying, hey, I'd like to have you give me your vineyard. It's right up against my palace. Maybe somebody might say, wow, you're asking for my vineyard? You know, you're going to let everybody know that I gave you my vineyard? There's some people who would probably have done it just out of a sense that it would be a privilege to have a king come to them and ask for their vineyard. I thought about this. I thought some might have thought that they were being a good citizen by doing what the king had asked them to do. Others might have viewed it as a way of helping to donate to a worthy cause because he wanted to use it for a garden of herbs. But Naboth said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to trade it for another one. By the way, as I was reading this even today, when he said, if you're willing, I'll give you another one that's better than the one you got. Hey, listen, if God gives you something, how could it be better? I mean, it can't be better. If God's the one that gave you the vineyard, God gave you the possession, then whatever you're going to get, it's not going to be better than what God can give you. And by the way, that's true of our Bible. You're not going to get a better Bible. And that's what the world's trying to convince you, is that, hey, the new ones coming out are better Bibles. No, this is God's. And God gives us this book to preach from, and you can't get a better one than that which comes from God. And God's the one that sets the, established the church and gave his life for it and so forth, and gives us the plan of salvation, gives us the plan to live by, whether it has to do with our home or our marriage, our children, or whatever it might be. And so you can't improve upon what God gives to you. And so he said, no, I God forbid it. In short, he's just saying this, it's not mine to give. I want you to go with me for just a moment to a couple of passages of Scripture. Look at Leviticus chapter number 25. Go to Leviticus and chapter number 25, verse number 23. Listen to what it says here. Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 23. The Bible says this. It says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if in any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. And if a man have some none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of his sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return it unto his possession. In other words, God's saying, I don't want you to sell it, trade it, give it away, or whatever it might be. It's my land. I'm the one that gave it to you. I placed your tribe there. I placed your family there. I gave you the vineyard. I had a purpose for putting you there. I want you to be able to leave it as an inheritance to your own children and your children after you. And I don't want you to go ahead and trade it off because some guy that's already traded off everything else in his life wants to have your vineyard, wants to take your testimony. And so he says here that you're not to do it. Over in the book of Numbers, just go to the book of Numbers for a moment. In Numbers chapter number 36, verse number 7. Numbers 36. Let me get over there myself. Numbers 36. In verse number 7 and 8 and 9. Listen to what it says. He says here, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of his family of the tribe of the father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance move from one's tribe to another, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Now that's pretty clear. And then I'll just give you one more. It's found in the book of Ezekiel. You don't need to turn there. Some of you will be looking for Ezekiel until I'm all done preaching. But Ezekiel chapter number 46. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 46 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his son's inheritance out of his own possession, that my people may not be scattered every man from his own possession." And so when Ahab comes to Naboth and he said, "I want to have your vineyard," your vineyard could be your family. Your vineyard could be your testimony. Your vineyard could be the kind of Bible that you use. Your vineyard could be the church that you attend. Your vineyard could be your marriage. I mean, honestly, folks, I mean, the world is relentless. Just like a phone calls of, "Would you like to sell your house? No. Would you like to sell your house? No. Would you like to sell your house? No." They're always trying to take my house. And I've tried to tell them 1,000 times, it's not for sale. But they never give up, and neither does the devil. And neither does the world, and neither does the flesh. And people that have sat in churches just like this one for years and years and years, it's troubling to me that you can come back sometime and visit a church and you don't see a face there, and you'd say to the pastor, "What happened to so-and-so?" And they'd say, "Well, brother, they got into problem. They divorced his wife," or whatever it might be. And I'm thinking, man, they used to be under the kind of preaching that said, "Don't sell out," and they sold out. They lost it all. Why? Because they had no convictions. And my feeling of it is if we've got young men today that are changing things, then they lack conviction. They were taught those things, but they didn't stick close to them. And, you know, I was reading over in 2 Timothy, and the Bible is very clear about this, but in 2 Timothy, he talks about remaining and continuing the things that you've been taught from whom thou hast taught them. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Yeah, I went to Bible college in 1975, was taught about what it meant to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist for the heritage, for the testimony. I mean, our country was founded upon Bible, but Baptist principles as well. Baptists helped found this country in its early stages in time. It was due to the Baptists. And I couldn't take you through the history of that, but I don't have time tonight. But I'm just saying, I want to be a Baptist and identified with those kind of people that never sold out. They stayed true to the Bible. And we need to do that today. And they did it because they had some convictions about what they knew the Word of God had to say. Hey, listen, I'm not going to go and sleep around because the Bible says it's wrong. And I know it's tough. I mean, you know, to be the only guy on your job that's not sleeping around with somebody else because it's so acceptable and tolerable in a society that we live in today. But I'm just telling you, it's still an abomination to God. It's still wrong to God according to the Bible. This book's never changed. It's still a sin. You know, I know it's hard to be the only teenager to go to schools and walk the halls and have to admit, well, I'm a churchgoer. I go to church. I know that's tough to do that. I know it's hard to be the only kid on the block and when you're asked about your sexuality that you say, well, I'm a virgin. When they ask you if you've had sex, hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's okay. Stand according to the Bible. Don't give in to the world. The world wants our church. The world wants your marriage. The world wants your kids. The world wants our Bible. The world wants the name Baptist off from that. Hey, we've got an administration running this country now that hates what we stand for. And I'm not going to get political, but I'm just saying that's the direction that it's going in. And we don't need Christians giving in to the world. If you've got any convictions at all, stand on your convictions and don't give in. I've had many, many times, many opportunities to give in over my ministry and so forth. And I just kept going back to the Bible and saying, the Lord forbid me. I'm reminded of Joseph when Joseph was sold into Potiphar's house there in bondage in Egypt, and he was a slave, and he became the manager of the household. And you know about Potiphar's wife, how she seduced him and tried to get him to lay with him and all of that. And finally he just said, how can I do such a thing, this wickedness and sin against God? He said, I'm not going to do it. I mean, he knew there was nobody in the house but him and her. And yet he said, I'm not going to do this because it would be a sin against God. He had convictions about him. He knew God forbids that kind of stuff. Hey, I don't care how much society has changed today and the culture has changed today. This book doesn't change. And God still believes it's wrong. And so it doesn't make any difference. We're not trying to please the culture. We're trying to please the Lord. We're trying to stand on what we believe, what we've been taught. And I'm telling you, I was talking to a preacher just yesterday coming from Texas last night. We got back from Texas, and he's been doing some study about percentages and so forth about men in our country. And he was reading from a statistic where he said that they did questionnaires to men across the board. And it wasn't just lost men out in the world, but it was across the board. He said the tallies came back. 73% of all male men in America have some form of an addiction to pornography. 73%. Now, that's not just out in the world. We sit there and say, oh, I don't believe that. Hey, some of these preachers are falling because even preachers in the church are wrapped up in pornography. And it's so accessible on the internet and on our phones and on TV today. You can't even watch television today. The filthy language and the sexuality and all the things that they, you know, pump into our brains and so forth. You got to keep snapping the channel all the time because it's constantly there trying to get you to understand and think that it's okay to do this. It's not okay to do it. And the thing it'll stop you from doing is if you need just plant your feet and submit and say no, God forbids me to do this. That's how Naboth kept from selling. He had a conviction to believe, I am not selling out because God forbids me to do it. It doesn't make any difference if the society accepts it. Hey, the courts can determine what's law, but only God determines what's right. And God determines that that kind of stuff is wrong and you're not to sell out your family and so forth. I was so touched this morning when I saw this couple come up that had been married 60 years. What a testimony. Amen. Stayed together for 60 years. I was speaking to another couple here, getting ready to celebrate here shortly, 52 years coming up. Praise the Lord for that. I told them, I said, yeah, this next year, my wife and I'll be married 50 years. Amen. 50 years. And you're going to get to a point where you're not going to hear testimonies like that. Because everybody stays with somebody for about 3 or 4 years and dumps her or dumps him, gets him another wife, gets him another husband or whatever. Why? Because it's so easy in the society. Yeah, right. Naboth did not sell out for one reason. He had convictions. He knew it was in the Bible. He wasn't about to give it up. I'm going to quickly give you the second one. And that is, secondly, he said, no, I'm not selling, because he was a man who cared more about what God thought about it and pleasing God than he did anyone else. You know, here's my thoughts about it. I don't really care what the world thinks about my stand on the Bible. I don't really care whether they like the name Baptist on my church. I don't really care whether or not they feel like I'm against some of the things that are going on. Or I don't really care. I'm not trying to please them. I'm not trying to please the world. I'm trying to please the God who gave us these things. And that's, if I'm going to live, I'm going to live to please God. I care more about God than I do about the Ahabs of the world that are asking me to give in. Sell it, trade it. You know, I'll buy it from you, whatever. I mean, the guy was relentless. Hey, give it to me. No. All right, let me trade you for another. No. All right, well, then I'll give you money for it. No. Listen to me. You need to learn to say no. It's not for sale. I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to trade it. He cared whether or not God would be grieved if he did, more than whether the world. I don't really care about the world and all that they're doing. I'm trying to please the Lord with my life, and the Bible's clear about that. Listen, he wasn't interested in maintaining a vineyard anyway. When he wanted his vineyard, he wasn't going to keep it a vineyard. He was going to change it. And that's what they want. They want to change your kids. They want your children. They want your home. They want your marriage. They want your church. They want your Bible. Nobody's ever said, give us your Bible and we won't change it. No, they want to change it to something else. And that's what he wanted to do. He sat there and said, if you give me your vineyard or sell it to me or trade it, he said, I'll make it a garden of herbs. You know, I was looking up herbs today and another word next to it says gourds. And I'm thinking, maybe he wanted to grow gourds in that garden. I don't know. But gourds are kind of worthless, you know. Herbs, you know, like rosemary and dill and oregano and all these different peppermint and chives and parsley and garlic and ginger. All of those are kind of herbs. I got to thinking, he didn't want to keep it a vineyard, but isn't that what the world wants? They want what we have so they can get it and change it. That's their whole idea, is to change it to something else. Well, God gave it to him as a vineyard and said, I want it to stay a vineyard. I want it to stay your possession. I don't want you to trade it, give it, or sell it. I want you to be able to hand this down to your kids. Brother, I want to tell you something. I have 9 grandchildren. I want to be able to hand them something at the end of my life that hasn't been sold out and given to the world. I want to be able to give them something. And I like I said, I know it can happen to anybody, and if it isn't by God's grace, any one of us could fall. So he didn't sell out because of convictions. God forbid it. He didn't sell out because he cared more about God than he did the world. Wish preachers would start caring more about what God thinks than what the world thinks. Then thirdly, I believe Naboth refused and said no because he was a man of character. You know what character is? Character is what you really are. Reputation is what people think you are. Character, I read one time, is character is what you'll do when nobody's looking and nobody's there, when you're all alone by yourself. Character is always a person who does the right thing. It's living righteous. It's doing what's right. As hard as it might be, it's doing the right thing. As hard as it might be to take a stand and keep our focus on the Lord with all that's going on in our world, it's still character always does what's honest, always does what's right, always cares about right and wrong, knows that you can't sleep at night until you have peace, that you've done what God has told you to do. That's what character is. Naboth knew what kind of wicked, debauched man that Ahab was, and he wasn't about to make a deal with Ahab. No unholy alliances are ever to be made in the Bible. The Bible, you know, Jehoshaphat made an alliance or a deal with Ahab, and that got him into trouble. And the Lord said, how can you love them that hate God and help them? I mean, the prophet came to Jehoshaphat and said, you did wrong when you made a deal with Ahab. God said, don't make deals with Ahabs. I'm going to tell you something. If I came back here a year from now, would you still be sitting here saying, I'm still standing on my convictions. I still care about what God thinks. Hey, you know what? I'm concerned about pleasing the Lord. I've got some character. As soon as you fall into sin, as soon as you mess around, as soon as you look at something, you've just marred your character. If you had any at all, you've marred your character. You're going to lose your integrity. I was thinking of some of these guys that have just recently fallen due to moral issues and so they have no idea what they lost. I think, I forget who said it, but a man said one time, the devil will get you what you want, give you what you want, but you'll have to give up everything you have. The devil will give you exactly what you want, but you'll have to give up what you have. You know what? I've been married one time. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay with the same woman. How could I get a better wife than the one that God gave me? I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't want a garden of herbs. I don't want a garden. I like a vineyard. I like the vineyard I have in my Bible. I like the vineyard I have in my church. I like the vineyard I have with my family, my wife, my kids. I like my friends. And I think in the guys that have fallen, the guys, they've lost their integrity, their character, their respect. They've hurt their children, their grandchildren. They've got nothing to leave now behind. They've got shame on their face and reproach. They're now looking for a job when they've lost their salary. All for what? Is that what you're willing to sell out to, the world? Because it feels good for a moment? You know, I was thinking about Esau when he was hungry that day and he came back. And I hear this statement made all the time that Jacob stole his birthright. The Bible never says Jacob stole his birthright. The Bible says that Esau sold his birthright. That's what it says. He sold it. What did he sell it for? For a bowl of beans, for a bowl of soup. What was his birthright? His birthright was the inheritance that was going to be given to him. He was the firstborn in that family. He had a right to that. And Isaac would have given it to him if he would have just waited and not sold out. But no, he comes out of the field one day. He's a little bit hungry for a few moments. And he smells the soup that Jacob is cooking up here in the pot. And he goes, give me a bowl of that soup that you got there. And the Bible even says that when he got it, it only had one morsel in it. One bean. He said he sold it for one morsel. I mean, one morsel. One bean. What a cheap bowl of bean soup that is. You ever go to a restaurant and say, we have ham and bean soup today. I go, man, I love it. And I'm looking for the beans. There's no bean. I find one bean in the stupid soup. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've got a bowl of Esau soup here. You know, I guess one bean. He sold his birthright. His brother says, give me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl of soup. And he goes, what good is this birthright to me while I die? Now, he wasn't dying. You know what he wanted? He wanted something that satisfied him for the moment. He was willing to sell off some of the blessing, all the blessings, all the inheritance, for something that satisfied him for the moment. Now, that's why guys fall into sin. They're willing to sell off their family, their marriage, their integrity, their character, all for something that satisfies them for a moment. And all you got to do is read about how he regretted doing that later on when it came time for the blessing to be given out. He come to get the blessing and his father said, there's going to be no blessings for you. He cried, wailed and begged his father one blessing and he goes, no, sorry. In fact, the Bible says he despised his birthright. He was a perverse man. That's what the Bible calls him. Hey, I'd rather wait for the blessings. He could have always gone home to his mother, Rebecca, and said, Mom, I'm hungry. She made him a bowl of soup or something. But no, he made a deal, and he sold his birthright. What bothers me is we've got Christians sitting in churches, men looking at pornography, men hanging around with women that aren't their wives, teenagers getting involved in things, preacher boys getting rid of their Bible, changing things. Is this where we're going? That we won't incorporate convictions and concern about God and character in our life? I'll close by just telling you this. I believe that Naboth said, no, I'm not going to give you my possession because he was content with what God had given to him. You know, you won't sell out if you're content with what you already have. I'm content with the woman God gave me. I don't need another woman. I'm not for sale. In fact, I've been thinking about wearing a little sign around my neck that says, not for sale. For all the women out there that just want me so badly, I'm not for sale. Not for sale. Well, no, hey, listen. Do you know that there's women in churches that get enamored by a preacher? I mean, they look up to them. They get this affection for them and so forth. I mean, he's married and so forth. And the devil says, man, yeah, there's people like that. Now, I don't know if that's happened to me or not. I've never had any lady come up to me and say, hey, you know, I've got an affection for you. I'm praise the Lord for that. According to my mother-in-law, that'll probably never happen. My mother-in-law told my daughter the other day, she says, she's talking to my daughter, and she goes, your dad's a strange man. And then she said, and he's not very good looking either. And my daughter said to my mother-in-law, that's my dad you're talking about. She goes, oh, I didn't mean that in a mean way. Well, how can you mean it any other way? If he's a strange man, he's a strange man. And he's not very good looking either. Well, praise God. I'll remain strange and not good looking. Maybe that'll keep him away. No, listen, he was content. He was content with the vineyard he had. He wasn't looking to get a different vineyard. He wasn't looking to, you know, sell out to something else. He was content with what God had given to him. And he said, here's the four things why I'm not going to sell it to you. Because I've got conviction that God forbids it. Hey, listen, if it's in the Bible, stand on that. Amen. I've got too much character. I'm not going to lose my character of being upright and honest and a man of integrity for some stupid thing like that. I care more about what God thinks than what you think, Ahab. I don't care if you're upset with me. I don't care. And by the way, can I just say this? Ahab got his vineyard. You say, that's the problem, Brother Randolph. If we don't give in, if we don't, you know, dip a little bit, it's not really the world that wants it. All they're trying to do is get our churches to come up, become more relevant to the culture. No, it's still the world. It's still the world trying to get our church. It's still the world trying to get your marriage. It's not just trying to get them to come up to being relevant and so forth. They don't like what you are, and they want to buy it from you or trade it, give it away to something else and make it and turn it into a vineyard or a, not a vineyard, but a garden of herbs, a garden of gourds. They're basically pretty worthless. But he was content with what he had, and he didn't need anything else. And so he said, I'm not selling to you because I've got convictions, I've got character, I care about God. And quite frankly, Ahab, I'm pretty content with the vineyard that God gave me. And so I'm not interested in getting something you want to give me. Well, so he goes up and he sucks his thumb and he's upset because Naboth won't give him his vineyard and sell it to him, trade it for another one. So Jezebel, she comes in and she says, basically, I'll get it for you. You know, here's the thing. You'd say, yeah, well, he got it. Yeah, but he got it from a man that didn't sell it. I mean, he was willing to die for the cause of Christ. He was willing to die for that vineyard because of those convictions that he had. You know, they may get our churches in the end, and they may get things like that, but I want to go down fighting. I want to fight to the very end. If I'm going to lose something, I'm going to lose it by a fight. I'm certainly not going to say, well, I didn't deny thee. You can have my kids. You can have my home. You can have my silver. You can have my gold. Just don't kill me. Just don't, you know, that's not the attitude of the early church. That wasn't the attitude of those that were martyred. That's not the attitude of those in the Reformation. Shouldn't be our attitude either. Stand up and hold on to what God's given you and have some conviction about you and care about what God thinks, maintain your character, and just downright be content with what God's given to you. Amen. And you won't sell out. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for saving my soul. Father, I know that the world wants my body, they want my marriage, they want the church, they want the book, they want my grandkids. Lord, I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to trade it off. It sickens me when I hear of another report of another church that's fallen, changed the name. It sickens me when I hear of another couple whose marriage is broken up and their kids are affected by it. It just gives the devil the victory. God, help us tonight to say, this could happen to me. And Lord, I need your grace. Would you help me to stand on my convictions? Would you help me to be content with what you've given me and not to trade it off to something else? And the loss will be much greater if we do. Lord, we need you to help us at these times that we're living in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to have an invitation.